Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. That's where we'll begin this lesson today. And as we turn there, let me say that all of us, at some time in our lives, have learned a valuable lesson by watching others and how they acted in particular circumstances or situations. And the Bible itself provides the power of example in the lives of individuals throughout its pages, describing its importance both positive and negative, and that's what I want to consider today. So with these thoughts in mind, let's begin by reading verses 1 through 10 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then 13 and 14 in chapter 2. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the very first 10 verses. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for our sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, and only in Macedonia, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath. And now over in chapter 2, let's read verses 13 and 14. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. In this text, Paul, with Silvanus and Timothy, writes to the young Christians at Thessalonica about their lives, and he describes this group as imitators and examples. So my question is, why were they imitators and examples? Notice that in verse 6 in chapter 1, he specifically says that these brethren were followers of us. That, to me, points to Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And he also says that you were followers of the Lord. Now, this is not the first time that Paul wrote this admonition. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul wrote to the group of Christians encouraging them to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I think, and we see in these two readings, we find Paul imploring Christians to strive to be examples, to strive to be imitators of Christ and faithful Christians, and as you do, you become an example to others. Now, I have to say that becoming an example does not happen by accident. Not in this case. Paul commended them because they received the word of God, which effectively worked in them. In other words, they heard the word and they allowed it to guide their lives. Turn with me to James chapter 1, and let's read verses 19 through 25. James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It seems to me here that as I read these verses, that James commends his readers because they received the word with meekness. It says they received with meekness the implanted word. Like I say, you can't become an example just by accident. What I read over in Thessalonians and here is it happens because with meekness you let that implanted word, you let the word of God come into your life and to guide you. Now, the term meekness is defined as a spirit of submissiveness, a spirit of that is easily imposed. And that is, they received the teaching of the Lord with a spirit of acceptance, and they allowed the word of God to work in their lives. The opposite of meekness is a spirit of self-assertiveness and presuming. When these two attributes lead a person rather than allowing the implanted word of God to guide your life, to change you, to make you a Christian the way God wants, when the spirit of assertiveness and presuming is in your life, I think we are more likely to adopt the ideas of man because it provides what we desire. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 read like this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. That, to me, is the spirit of assertiveness, that self-assertiveness, that spirit of presuming, because they didn't like what they were hearing. They didn't like what the Word of God was saying. And so what happens is they let these their own think-sos to guide them. Brethren, the truth is one does not learn to imitate Christ from visions, from better felt than told experiences, from human philosophy, from traditions that are inventions of men that we can't find in the scriptures. All of this is contrary, I think, to the New Testament scriptures. It is critical that we accept that the Christian lifestyle will come with much affliction. When you allow the Word of God to come into your life, when you accept that word of God easily imposed on you, when you accept that word of God in all submissiveness, when you accept the teaching of our Lord with a spirit of acceptance, and you allow his word to work inside of you, when you do all of that, you're going to have some affliction from outside. It's going to happen to you. When Paul said to the Thessalonians, turn back there again, to 1 Thessalonians. Because Paul again says in verse 6 of chapter 1, he said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word how? In much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, you are going to have much affliction. And they accepted it how? With the joy of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, early Christians were imitating Paul and Christ, and affliction was a part of their life. So we're going to have to accept the fact that as we let the Word of God guide us, and we don't let the world come into our lives, and the world sees us, sometimes there's going to be affliction. You're going to have problems. People are going to say names about you. People are not going to want to do what you want to do. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. When we have Paul in Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17. And let's read verses 1 through 8. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Jews, Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and they are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. I'll tell you what. Look at the church at Thessalonica. When Paul came there and began to preach and teach, what happened? There were some of those in Thessalonica who heard the word of God and joined Paul and Silas. And as a consequence, they were subjected to mob rule. But they obviously remained true to the teaching of God's word. And as Paul wrote in verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians, "So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia." They became examples. How? In the midst of mob rule, in the midst of much afflictions, they let the implanted word of God come into their life. I like that word implanted, you know, because that means it literally was in them, the word of God. They allowed it to guide them. And they were examples to others as they looked to Christians in their day who were examples to them. That's what Paul says. "You look to me. I was an example. Look at me. Look at Jesus Christ. He is an example." And as they let that implanted word come into them, they became examples. Their good report of their endurance and steadfast had spread far and wide. They had an outstanding reputation from Macedonia in northern Greece to Achaia in southern Greece. The word of their courage under fire had sounded forth, trumpeted, and rang out clearly in that part of the world. But they suffered because of it. And that's what's going to happen to Christians in this day. I mean, when you hear the news, when you see what is going on, more and more and more, Christians are called out, set aside for what you believe and for what you practice. And all you believe and all you practice is what the Bible says. But this world doesn't like it. They don't like those kind of examples. Suffering the cause of Christ, I tell you, was not limited to Christians in Thessalonica. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll get over there. And let's read verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God in all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will you partake of the consolation. Suffering is part of the Christian life. It's different from what the world wants to see. And it affects a church and affects individuals because of who you are, because of what you believe, because of what you practice. That's what it is. Turn with me again to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let me read verses 1 through 4. James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered about, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now turn to Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out into your hearts. How is that? In their case, it was through the preaching of Paul. And they, like all other Christians who are followers of Jesus Christ, allowed that implanted word to take root in their lives. And as they did, they suffered. They suffered afflictions. But they became a good example. They became an example to other churches, to people round about them. Suffering for the cause of Christ was not limited to Christians in Thessalonica. It was not limited to the Christians in Corinth. The world changed drastically for them individually as they faced, and their will to continue in the faith came to realize through their examples that we too today can face the turmoil of being a Christian with joy and hope. And that's what we get from these scriptures. As I read 1 Thessalonians, as I read James, as I read Romans, as I read 2 Corinthians, I see people who suffered. They suffered afflictions for their faith. And in doing so, they became examples to others. An example. Somebody that somebody could look up to. When we read what these early Christians faced and their will to continue in the faith, we come to realize through their examples that we too today can face that same turmoil with joy and hope. And by enduring through the trials and sufferings, we are an example to other Christians. Timothy was told in 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. Brethren, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference if you are a relatively new Christian, as were the Thessalonians, or if you are young in age, as Timothy was. The report which sounded forth told of how these Christians had turned from idols to God. They had renounced their allegiance to gods whom they had previously served. They turned their back on dead, lifeless pagan idols, and they stopped worshiping false gods that they had formerly loved, and they turned. They turned. You know, we too today, we can serve in a way that is not godlike. That is not as a Christian. We can serve idols of money. We can serve power. We can serve prestige. We can serve looks. We can serve lusts. We can serve all other unholy behavior. Or we can make the same decision that they did, that Christians did in Thessalonica, that Christians did in Corinth. We can change as they did, centered around two key elements of the gospel message. They were absolutely convinced of these facts. First, that Jesus was raised from the dead, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. Paul wrote there, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead." That was a fact. That was something that they believed. And secondly, they believed and were convinced Jesus is coming back. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. Let's just take a look at those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are asleep and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the Lord, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Brethren, we cannot be a good example to others if we look and act like the world. If we look and act like the world because we are giving approval of how they look and how they act. Now, I'm not saying that they look and act in total aspects of their lives. But when we read something in the scriptures and we look over there and we see them not acting or practicing righteousness like God has defined for us, you know, brethren, if we allow that to influence our lives and we become like them, what kind of example are we? What kind of example do we set? We need to be an example to the rest of the world. And we need to let this book here, this New Testament, provide for us the actions, the way we live, to be good examples. It would be wonderful if we had the same reputation that the church at Thessalonica had. You know, they were examples from northern Greece to southern Greece. Why? Because they followed Jesus Christ. They understood what they needed to do. We will have hard decisions to make from time to time. And as Nathan so elegantly pointed out this morning, our eternal destination hinges on making those decisions that please God. That's what love is. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," Jesus said. And so we do, we can be an example to others. And it's an important, to me, it's an important asset that we need to have. It's something that we need to understand. And everybody is an example. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. Little Levi over there, you know, he's got cousins who are this high, just little. And he can be an example to them, the way he lives. It matters no difference how old you are or how young you are. You will be an example to somebody. The question is, as we become Christians, will we be the right kind of example? Will we give them what we want them to see, and that is Jesus Christ living in us? And if we do, then we will be like that church in Thessalonica. We will be like that church that Paul finally got come around to saying, in 2 Corinthians. We will be like them. And individually, we will be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. But what does it take? An attitude. An attitude of submissiveness. An attitude of meekness. To accept that word and allow it to work in us. That's what it takes. The implanted word of God. And we all can help each other to get there. When we allow that, we won't have any fear of eternal life, of eternal damnation. But it takes people who say, I want to live like Jesus wants us to live. And when I make a mistake, which I am going to make, I am going to confess, and I am going to let folks know that that's what I want to do. So if you're here this morning, and you've never started your life yet with our Lord and Savior, let it be known. If you know what it takes, if you know you're a sinner, you need to repent of your sins, you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, come down here and be baptized and start that new life all over. Start a life that is a tremendous example for others, no matter who you are. And if you've not lived that life and you just want the help of these brethren, your prayers, or in any way we can help, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.